Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So I hear tell from Mississippi that we are now within striking distance. This is a lot better than the conventional wisdom that I've heard for decades, that only 15 to 20% of the public would support a total ban on abortion. The yes on Amendment 26 vote in Mississippi received 42%. 42% of those going to the polls voted to stop all abortion. Of course, I was hoping for a victory, like almost all of you out there in the audience, but this result doubles the percentage that the conventional wisdom has told us, me, I've heard it for decades, that we can't try to stop abortion because only 15 to 20% of the public would support that. So in liberal Colorado, we got 30%. So that already showed that all the Gallup polls were false all over the country. All the Gallup polls were false, that only a small percentage, far smaller than 30%, would support banning all abortion. Now we've got a vote in Mississippi where 42% of the voters came out to end child killing in their state, hopefully eventually in the country, and that was with quite a bit of pro-life opposition. So each time the pro-life opposition gets weaker, each time, but it's still there and it's still significant. We'll give an example today that Jill Stanek has highlighted on her website, jillstanek.com, pro-life blogger, and she's lamenting the pro-life leaders who came out against Amendment 26, the personhood amendment in Mississippi. But even with that, I am encouraged that now we are within striking distance in Mississippi. And Lord willing, we're going to do better here. And of course, successful human rights campaigns require raising awareness and increasing social tension over injustice and faithfulness to the truth. Those are the elements of a successful human rights campaign. You got to raise awareness and increase social tension and be faithful to the truth. So let's be about our Father's business. It's a beautiful day out there in the Rocky Mountains. I hope it is where you live. And this is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, Jill Stanek, on her website, she has an article, A Person's Still Not a Person, No Matter How Small, in Mississippi. And she points out that over the last few weeks, there have been multiple polls saying that the personhood amendment was going to pass. Multiple polls, and the pro-aborts were pretty much consigned to, I mean, a typical headline was personhood poised to pass in Mississippi. And that was from the hardcore pro-abortion media. So Jill Stanek points out, you know, well, what happened? Well, a simple reason that she points out is that Mississippi's Republican pro-life governor, Haley Barbour, who's always said he's 100% pro-life, that he came out against the amendment in the last days, of course, and then he wanted to have it both ways, like Mitt Romney. He's for and against homosexual marriage. He's for and against tax-funded abortion, right? He's for and against everything except for his own nomination for candidacy for president. But everything else he's for and against, depending on who he's talking to. Jill Stanek points out that when such a prominent pro-lifer, and this is a problem we've talked about here at Bob and Yart Live for a long time, for the Republican Party, being pro-life is an asset because it gets you money and votes, especially it gets you through the primary. But then there's no real goal to end abortion because, well, for one, and this is extremely cynical, but if abortion went away, then how is the Republican Party going to motivate its base? I mean, they're increasingly like the Democratic Party. How much of the $5 trillion debt we've got since Obama, how much of it has come from George W. Bush's programs that he introduced, his own entitlement, government, health care reform? What if we removed all that spending in the last 3 years? I mean, that would be a significant chunk. Like the prescription drug entitlement program that George W. Bush passed and his faith-based initiatives. And what if we took out all of Bush's increased social spending, because that stuff just keeps growing year after year, like a tumor. And so if we took all that out, we find out that the Republicans often cause as much trouble as the Democrats do. And even worse, because the Republicans get Christians and pro-lifers to support and defend and even pay for child killing and other socialist programs. So when the good people advocate what is evil, then what are the chances of having any kind of a turnaround or a victory before the Lord returns when the good people advocate what's wrong? So Jill Stanek says that when Mississippi's Republican pro-life governor, Haley Barbour, goes out on the media, he does a media tour, and he's parroting the absurd pro-abortion lies from Planned Parenthood, like mothers with ectopic pregnancies might die if you pass Amendment 26. She said, well, then you knew there'd be serious trouble when the pro-life leaders are the ones who are promoting Planned Parenthood's lies. And so Jill points out, she says, inexplicably, Governor Barbour, Haley Barbour, Mississippi, goes on a whirlwind press junket in the final days to argue Planned Parenthood's side of the issue. He did a pretty good job of getting pro-lifers who were polling yes to vote no. We've got some audio from a Jackson, Mississippi TV station when they ran the story that, and this was on, I think, on Friday, so a few days before the election, 4 days, when they're reporting that the pro-life governor is telling people that this might be a bad amendment. Let's hear this.
Governor, known for his pro-life stance, told MSNBC he's not sure if he would vote for Initiative 26.
I believe life begins at conception. Unfortunately, this personhood amendment doesn't say that.
Governor Barbour made that statement on MSNBC's The Daily Rundown show. Barbour told host Chuck Todd he thinks the wording of Amendment 26 is too vague.
It says life begins at fertilization or cloning or the functional equivalent thereof. That ambiguity is striking a lot of pro-life people here as concerning.
When Todd asked how he would vote on Initiative 26, the governor said his mind isn't made up.
So he believes life begins at conception. But the amendment doesn't say that. The amendment says life begins at fertilization. And because scientists today are acting almost like Nazi scientists, and they're trying to create children from cloning, then this amendment said that those children also would be considered persons. So whether it's fertilization, which is normal asexual reproduction, or cloning, or twinning, or regardless of the circumstances of the child's coming into existence, you protect the child. The child is innocent. The child is alive. It's got 46 chromosomes. It's a member of the Homo sapiens species. It's a boy or a girl. So you protect the child. But we have the Republican governor of Mississippi doing something that, if this had to do with slavery or the killing of Jews in Germany, could you imagine the condemnation of history that's going to come down on Haley Barbour's head? This is going to be his primary legacy. This will be it. With the thousands of children killed, when you count the kids killed by the morning after pill or RU-46 or other chemical weapons, when you count all the kids killed and aborted in Mississippi, the thousands of children who were killed, and here is the Republican governor who claims to be pro-life, and he's out there taking up the argument for Planned Parenthood, saying this is vague, and this might send women who have ectopic pregnancies, they might die. You know, I'd like to hear a little more of that. Could we cue that up again?
I am concerned about some of the ramifications on in vitro fertilization, ectopic pregnancies where pregnancies outside the uterus and the fallopian tubes.
Right.
That concerns me. I have to just say it.
All right, let's stop the tape. Ectopic pregnancies. Is that how he said that? Ectopic pregnancies are where the baby is growing outside of the uterus, and a doctor does what he can to save a patient. And if he can't save a patient and the patient dies, the doctor is not guilty. That's an unavoidable death. And the pro-life movement has been as clear about this as could be. The personhood movement speaks with a clear voice that, of course, you try to save the baby, you try to save the mother. But you don't kill the mother to save the baby. Wouldn't that be absurd? Say, well, there's a crisis pregnancy, the baby's going into cardiac arrest, quick, kill the mother and get the baby out. Just shoot her and get the baby out. We got to try to save the baby. You would never intentionally kill the mother to save the baby, and likewise, you don't intentionally kill the baby to save the mother. You don't do it. And for him to imply, what, does he know nothing about the issue? He's the governor. He's supposedly the pro-life governor of Mississippi. He knows nothing about the issue? Nothing? He can't state clearly that the doctor should care for both patients? And he tries to save both, but if he can only save one, he saves one. And if the other dies, that's not a crime, it's a tragedy. He can't say that. He's not a leader. He doesn't know right from wrong. He's not an adult. He's a politician who uses abortion for his own advantage. Even with this, though, even with the so-called pro-life leaders coming out against the personhood amendment, this time around, there were fewer of them, and they were not quite as bold. And so now Haley Barbour, he was bold, and he very well could have taken a couple points away from the outcome. This will be his legacy. And there were others. And of course, they were the typical pro-abortion denominations, like the Episcopals and the United Methodists, of course. And then the Catholic bishops in Mississippi, they said that they were remaining neutral. And there's something interesting about the slaughter of the innocent, the slaughter of children. There's no such place as neutral. There's no such place. You can't find it. No matter how hard you try to find neutral, you can't find it. God has not given us a way to get to neutral when it comes to injustice. So Jesus said that you're either for me or against me. And these little ones who he loves, if they're being drawn toward death and you don't stand up for them, well, then you share in the guilt. You love your neighbor. The Good Samaritan loved his neighbor. The religious leaders couldn't care less. And so when criminals left a victim to die, the religious leader said, well, we're going to remain neutral. We're remaining neutral. This is not our responsibility. We don't know that it's a good idea to attempt to intervene. And so the priest, in Jesus' story, Jesus tells the story. So the priest went on the other side of the street. He thought he could get far enough away from the scene of the crime that he wouldn't be guilty. Went on the other side of the street. But Jesus said that priest, he didn't love his neighbor. But here's the Samaritan, who the Samaritans, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, Jesus said the Samaritans don't even know who God is. They don't even know who God is. They don't even know what they're worshiping. But the Samaritan loved his neighbor because he intervened. Don't stand back and watch them die, the Bible says. Jill Stanek wrote a great article. She has a quote from Personhood USA's president, Keith Mason. And he said, Keith said, "We are called to be a voice for the voiceless and to plead the cause of the innocent. Win or lose, we did that." And how true that is. Win or lose. And the number one comment Keith said he heard was, women would be investigated if they had a miscarriage. And that's the kind of lies that the pro-lifers help to further. That's the kind of lies that the pro-lifers like Governor Haley Barbour tried to further. What, a woman would die because a doctor would refuse to try to save her life because there's a law that says you can't intentionally kill somebody? Of course not. When abortion was illegal nationwide, so this is a lengthy period of time in our history, how many doctors were arrested because a woman had a miscarriage? How many? In history. How many women were arrested because they had a miscarriage? An abortion was a crime. If you kill the baby, it's a crime. So miscarriage is, that's a death. That's tragic, a natural death. But how many women were arrested for a miscarriage when abortion was a crime? And as far as I can tell, the answer is zero, because I've been asserting that for years, and no pro-abort, no article, and no database anywhere has anything that's ever surfaced to say, oh, there was one in New Hampshire. There was one in New Hampshire in 1953. A woman was arrested for having a miscarriage. Not one. Not one story. Not one law book. Not one ruling. Not one. So you have the fear-mongering on the one hand that's picked up by Republican pro-lifers and foisted on the populace. It's fear-mongering. And then you have the actual history when not one woman was ever charged with miscarriage. Have you ever heard that charged ever in your life? No, and abortion has been illegal, criminal, through parts of the world throughout centuries or thousands of years. You go back to the Hippocratic Oath and Hippocrates, who's considered like the father of medicine. He says, I will not procure and abort a patient. First, do no harm. I will not kill a person, poison a person, or provide an abortion. That goes way back to like 500 years or so before Christ, but you go back 1,000 years before that, and the Mosaic Law says if you kill a baby in the womb, that it's homicide. That's in the book of Exodus. And by the way, you could read about that at AmericanRightToLife.org/Bible. And you could see that in the Bible, the killing of a baby in the womb is considered murder. So, now what I'll do is, we've had a number of news stories that we haven't been able to get to because we've been focusing on the Mississippi campaign, but thank you so much to everyone who prayed, everyone who gave, everyone who worked so hard down in Mississippi, to Leslie Hanks, my wife Cheryl, who went down there for a week. It was a great time of service, fellowship, ministry, and progress toward reaching the nation with the message that God is our creator, and God said, do not kill the innocent. And that is why eventually we have the victory. All right. Now, a few news stories before we continue. A few news stories. Regarding Libya, right? We've ended our military operation there. So it's time to look back to the program that Doug McBurney and I did half a year ago, back in March. The title of that show was Obama Supporting Libyan Tea Party. Remember that? Obama Supporting Libyan Tea Party, about the use of America's military to support the Libyan Tea Party with its government protesters who seriously cling to their guns and religion. And I mean seriously cling. So that's the accusation against America's Tea Party, that they cling to their guns and religion. And you want to go to Tripoli and see people clinging to their guns and religion? I mean, it's not a metaphor there. It's literal. And so now that we've ended our military operations in Libya, there are three widely reported factors that highlight the concern that we raised, Doug and I, on some Christian talk show half a year ago. These three news items are, first, that the transitional authorities now in the country, that is, the people who are in charge now that no one is in charge, those people, the transitional authorities are widely reported as enacting Sharia law. So that's the first. Sharia law, Islamic law based on the Quran. Secondly, as widely reported, Al-Qaeda slogans are being chanted in the streets. Al-Qaeda, you know, that's the Islamic terrorist group headed up until recently by Osama bin Laden. And then third, there is also an Al-Qaeda flag flying atop the courthouse in the nation's second largest city, also widely reported. Now, I'm not saying the Islamic flag, you know, with the crescent moon and all. No, the Al-Qaeda flag, which is a black flag, of course. It's a moon-based symbol. The Moonies are even there. So I think Doug and I were right on in our concern. This effort in Libya is dangerous because while Gaddafi is a murderer who deserves to be deposed, he deserves to be brought to justice, he deserves to be killed, the people that we're fighting for look just like the terrorists that we're fighting against. And in fact, lo and behold, one of the rebel leaders had been arrested on the battlefield in Afghanistan and eventually released, and shows up where he's now calling in American strikes. And he's one of the terrorists. And so Doug and I point out this concern. And now you fast forward 6 months later from March 23rd, and with Sharia law being implemented and Al-Qaeda slogans being chanted on the news and an Al-Qaeda flag flying atop the nation's second largest courthouse, I'd say that there's a problem in Libya. And we used American ships, planes, rockets, aerial surveillance, satellites, missiles, seamen and airmen to bring about a victory for the Libyan Tea Party, for these protesters who seriously cling to their guns and religion. So what in the world is Obama about? I mean, he's not hesitant to kill Muslims, that's for sure. He's not hesitant to kill Arabs. He's not. That's one of the things we pointed out back during the campaign when it was Obama versus McCain. And a lot of the conservatives, we said, look, they're both child killers. And my child killer is never preferred to your child killer. If you ever think that your child killer is to be preferred over someone else's child killer, you're making a huge mistake because you're condemning him and you're condemning yourself. And then the blood ends up on both of your hands with your support, your defense. So my child killer is never better than their child killer. And God calls us not to forecast the future, but to obey him, to humility and obedience. And so people said, well, we just have to vote for McCain because Obama, he will not attack the terrorists. Well, sure, he'll attack the terrorists. He started killing terrorists within 24 hours of getting in the White House with Predator drone strikes. And he eventually killed Osama bin Laden. He's killed plenty of terrorists. Some have argued that, and I'm talking about conservatives, that he's implemented George W. Bush's foreign policy better than Bush. He's done a more effective job of killing terrorists. So it's up in the air. Who did a better job? Well, it's true. He was helping the terrorists in Libya to kill the other terrorists. But then again, Bush gave how many tens of millions of dollars to the father of Arab terrorism in the Middle East, Yasser Arafat? Yasser and Osama and Gaddafi are having a little powwow right now. They're trying to figure out if there's any way for them to regroup. But it's not possible because, as Jesus said, there's a divide that no one can cross. So their ideas can still harm people, but they no longer can by their own actions. With a biblical worldview, you learn to see through the partisan misrepresentations, and it's harder to deceive someone who's studying God's word. And that's one reason we have all of our Bible studies available. You could either call us at 800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on our store, and you could subscribe to our monthly Bible studies, pick out one of your favorite albums, get them on DVD or download. So many ways to study and serve the Lord. May God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.